song to pick for what I'd like to talk about. Before I get started, I'm going to ask if maybe Gunnar would sit back there in the back with Josh and get some training, if you don't mind. And he can show you the ropes. I got iffy batteries. We might be switching them out in the middle of this thing. We'll see. And I also wanted to say before we get started that, you know, I'm here all day on Wednesdays, it seems like, and there's a lot of different things going on, and not everybody sees each other. I was just thinking about how the collating, there, you know, the Browns are here in the morning along with some of you that are here, and Dan Cruz, and Tracy's usually here, and there's collating going on, and then after that, there's a little bit of a break, and today I had a bus safety meeting in Hill City, so I drove through a blizzard to go to a safety meeting in Hill City. That made a lot of sense to me, but anyhow, and then come back here, and Kevin's here at early, and we get in the vans and brush off the snow and shovel everything off, and then Tracy's here early, and she meets us at the school, and she gets the sashes and vests all figured out and helps with Noah's friends, and then she takes Daniel and Philip and Anthony home, and so we don't always see everybody unless you're here from morning to night. You don't all see, but there's a lot of different people in this building on Wednesdays, and they all play a part, and they all have a part here on Wednesdays, and we appreciate that. And of course, Jeff's now back. He was here, now he's out plowing, and we'll be plowing until breakfast. And so it's just stuff goes on, and people behind the scenes. So appreciate all that does happen, and we don't always get together to pray together and sing together, but when you can, please come, and it's encouraging to the rest of us as well. All right, Genesis chapter 37, and this is just a story over about, well, there's several verses, 14 chapters, so can't read the whole thing, but I want to encourage you to be patient, and I know that's the pot calling the kettle black, but I want to encourage you to be patient. And what do I mean? Well, in Genesis chapter 37, it says in verse number 1, Jacob dwelled in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. He heard them talking, heard what they were doing, and he told his father what was going on. So he was thought of as the tattletale and the teacher's pet and the favored one. In verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And I don't suggest that humanly speaking, but I think we'll understand why this is in the Bible. Because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And so we see this young man, Joseph. He's growing up a little bit different, got a little different situation. He's got a bunch of stepbrothers with three other mothers. And it's quite a messed up situation. And then his dad, his old dad, decides that he's the favorite. And that doesn't make him unpopular with the other 10 brothers. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, in this dream which I have dreamed, and behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" His brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So I think his father realized that God must be telling him something. Anyhow, at age 17, I think that's about the age of some of the boys in here, age 17 is when all this is starting to take place. And his brothers, they were not good guys. They did not like him, and they hated him, the Bible says. And I just want to remind you that when God gives you a dream and God gives you a direction, it doesn't mean that he means for it to happen at age 17 or age 18. You see, what Joseph didn't know, and nobody at this point understands this, but that dream was going to happen. Those dreams were going to get fulfilled. And you guys know the story. But it wasn't going to happen for at least 20 more years. It was going to take longer than Joseph had been alive already before they were going to finally see the results. There's going to be about 13 years, and then after that, there's going to be at least 7 more years, plus another 7 years after that, and so there's going to be a lot of time. So understand about being patient, because things just don't always go the way, you know, you've seen that. I'm sure a lot of you, if you've had Facebook or anything, you see this comic that comes across. I like it. It shows my plan and in the goal and a straight line, all right? And then it shows God's plan and the goal, and it's like all over the place, right? And that's reality. That's just real life. But I want to point number one: he was despised by his brethren. He was despised by his brothers. Okay, all right. So all I'm doing is dreaming these dreams, and I'm not making these things up. I'm actually dreaming these dreams, and God is telling him something, and his brothers hated him for it. His father loved him. He was loved of his father, but he was hated by his brethren. Now, do you know, sometimes we don't understand why stuff happens. But you know something? Joseph was like somebody. Joseph is an example of somebody. You can read Joseph's life. You'll never find him doing anything wrong. I'm sure he did something wrong, but you can't find it. And yet, he exemplifies somebody. He's hated by his brethren, but loved by his father. He's like Christ. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus was despised and rejected of men. John chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, he came into his own received him not. And John chapter 7, it says this in John chapter 7, and verse 3 through 5, his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. We have a hard time understanding that, but Jesus had stepbrothers, all of them younger, and none of them believed him for a while. Some of them got saved, James, but some of them, they didn't believe him. It's hard for us to believe, but so Jesus is exemplified by Joseph's life. And of course, the Bible says that several times God from heaven said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay? And so we understand here, we're starting to see a pattern. Now, if you're Joseph, can you see this? If you're Joseph, if you're 17 years old, can you? Is there any little ray from heaven, you know, sun ray beaming from heaven going, Joseph, I'm making you like me? No, there isn't. There's not a New Testament. In fact, there's not really an Old Testament. I mean, there's not much for Joseph to really get devotions from or to read from. He's I'm sure got some scripture or some word passed down by the time here you've got all the Genesis stories ahead of him, but you know what? Joseph didn't have a whole lot to go on other than I'm gonna trust the Lord. So send I you. And God is doing this for a reason. Now notice something else. Number two, he's hated for his words. Verse number 4. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And verse number 8 at the end, and they hated him for yet the more for his dreams and for his words. He was hated for his words. The visions came from who? God. But the motivation that the visions caused were the words. In other words, he's just saying what he experienced. He's just saying what God spoke to him about. You ever get in trouble for saying what God told you to say? Yeah, welcome to Christianity. God gave me a message, I gave it, and kaboom, nobody liked it. And you want to go back and say, God, that wasn't very nice. But it isn't God's fault. So the visions were the motivation for the words. You know, God's people sometimes get themselves into trouble for simply repeating what God stirred their heart about. And we need to get all upset about that. Look at with me, first of all, in Matthew chapter 5, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, you and I have it so easy, because at least you and I can go back and look at all the other examples to encourage us when we get discouraged. I'm not sure who Joseph went and looked at as an example of encouragement, but he somehow stayed encouraged. Now, in Acts chapter 7, of course, it's the story of Deacon Stephen. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, this is how his sermon ended. He preached a sermon for a chapter and a half. And it ended like this. Ye stiff-necked, verse 51, and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have your fathers, not your fathers, persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, and of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up to steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, standing, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon them with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He forgave them as they were bashing him to hamburger. He was hated for his words, hated so much they started biting him and gnashing on him and plugging their ears. They were so angry. Who else was hated for his words? Jesus. One time in Nazareth, Jesus started to talk about Capernaum and how that, you know, there were things done, and how that the widow of Zarephath had more faith, and God had to send the prophet outside of their own country because there wasn't any faith in Israel, and they hated him. They hated him for him pointing out the facts, and how that Naaman got healed. There are a lot of Israelite lepers, but Naaman got healed. How about that? And he's pointing out the fact that their own people wouldn't believe. They hated him. They took him to the brow of a hill in Nazareth, and they're going to throw him over the hill. They hate him so much. I've been there. I've been to where they think that's at. Looked over the brow. They hated him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I was talking to somebody within the last 5 days, I was talking to someone who did not like that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. Okay? Listen, it's nothing new, but for Joseph it probably was pretty astounding. First of all, Joseph didn't have anything to do with the fact that he had all these stepbrothers and that they all had different mothers and they had a goofy dad. And he didn't have anything to do with the fact that God's giving him these visions and it's not his fault, but it sure is frustrating. Patient sufferer. Now, number three, he was almost destroyed. He was hated enough to be killed. They wanted to kill him. It says here in verse 18 of chapter 37, Genesis 37, 18, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams then. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And so he was fortunately cast into a pit, and the pit didn't have any water in it. Verse 24, they took him, cast him in the pit, and the pit was empty. There's no water in it. He didn't drown. But he could have died, and there was 10 of them that hated him, and some not so much as the others, but he was near death, hated enough to be killed, but not destroyed. Now, I really think that probably, even though Reuben spared his life, I think probably even Reuben, after all those years, probably figured, he's gone. You get sold as a slave into Egypt. I'm visualizing Ben-Hur. Have you ever seen the movie Ben-Hur, where Ben-Hur kind of is tied behind a camel and he's gone. We'll never see him again. He's going to die. He'll die a slave. And his brothers, I'm sure, thought, he's gone. Who else appeared to be gone, but wasn't gone? Jesus. You know, the three Hebrew boys, they thought they got rid of them in the fiery furnace. They threw Daniel in the lion's den, thought he was gone. But just like Christ, you know, it says in Acts chapter 2 that God would not allow the Holy One to see corruption. And even though he was in hell, he did not see corruption. And I'm sure Satan thought, Jesus is gone. He's done. He's conquered. The Son of God is dead. No, not gone. You see the picture here. Joseph just keeps exemplifying Jesus. I wish that people would say, yeah, that Matt Furse, he just exemplifies Jesus. He reminds me of Jesus. I challenge you to find anybody else in the Bible that reminds you as much of Jesus as Joseph. He just reminds you of him. It's just the way he is. He just had patience. I mean, at 17 years old, I didn't have patience. I'm 30, almost 30 years past that now. Next week, I'll be 30 years. I'll be 47 years. And I still don't have the patience that Joseph was exemplifying at age 17. Notice also, sold as a slave, but still prosperous. At the end of chapter 37, in verse 28, it says, and then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Then chapter 39, verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, or Midianites, same thing, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. And I want to stop here and say, he didn't have a bad attitude. I mean, at age 17, 18 years old, he's sold as a slave into Egypt. The temptation to just be mad at God. I dreamed these dreams. It wasn't my fault. I dreamed these dreams. My brothers hate me. It's not my fault they hate me. And here I am. But instead of a bad attitude, what did he do? He took all the lemons and he made lemonade. It's amazing. You know what happens to us? I've often wondered what Adam and Eve must have been like, what it must have been like for Adam and Eve to get kicked out of the garden and then to have to live the rest of their life knowing what it could have been like. You and I have the same problem. When something disappointing happens to us, we have a real hard time going forward and staying positive and still making lemonade. Why? Because we're all sour with the lemons. We're all upset because of what we lost and how unfair it was. Listen, Joseph took unfairness and just said, okay, if God wants me over here, that's fine. This is really odd. This is really strange. I don't know why I'm in Egypt, but if I'm in Egypt, God must have a reason. And so I'm just going to grow where I'm planted, and I'm just going to make the best lemonade with the lemons God's given me. But how many of us get down in the dumps? How many of us look around and say, well, it's not like it used to be, or it's not like it was, or whatever, or it's not like I thought it would be, or it's not how it turned out to be. You know what I get mostly, and I'm just saying, this will come as a shock to you. I get angry sometimes. I know that's a shock to all of you. But you know what gets me angry? What gets me angry is when my plans and what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. Anybody else like that besides me? what I thought I could count on didn't happen. So now, listen, that's what Joseph didn't do. He didn't do that. He was sold as a slave. I mean, Satan probably sat on his shoulder and said, "You're a slave, you're a slave, you're a slave." And Joseph kept reminding himself, and God probably reminding him, "No, no, you're a son, you're a son, you're a son." And Joseph, in spite of his situation, still was making lemonade. Bible says, Christ made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I don't think you and I can understand what a drastic difference Jesus had. I mean, we can see Joseph's drastic difference, but imagine Jesus. Both of them were similar. They both were sold for silver, weren't they? And yet they were still successful. The Bible says, of course, that Jesus was still prosperous, even though he looked like a loser. And that one seed planted in the ground blossomed and produced a huge amount of fruit. The Bible says that the blessed man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And you know, we haven't even got to the end of this story, but even after it gets worse for Joseph, he still prospers. So we go to point five. He's falsely blamed. He's falsely accused. Because Potiphar's wife comes in and messes it all up. And again, Joseph doesn't get angry and blame it all on Potiphar's wife. Came to pass, this woman tried to seduce him and tried to talk him into adultery, and he wouldn't. And so then she makes up a lie about him and makes up this huge story about him. And so Potiphar has no choice but to throw him into prison. And so Potter, it says in verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, in a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Verse 21, but what does it say? The Lord was with him. You know what you have to realize? Even when it goes all wrong, if the Lord's with me, that's all that matters. The Lord was with him and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the... Where have we heard that before? The keeper of the prison. Hey, I hope that you are one of those... I hope Gunner, I hope Sam, I hope Daniel, I hope Alex, I hope you guys are one of those people that no matter where you're at, they say, that guy will get it done. I can trust that guy. Here, you have all the keys to the whole prison. You just make sure everything gets swept and clean. Potiphar, same thing. You just have the keys to my house. I hope that you're that kind of a worker and you're so trustworthy and you're not so down in the dumps. Some people have all the potential in the world, but they're so upset about what they don't have that they can't just be what they could be. And Joseph here is now keeping the best prison there ever was. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. I mean, he's just, hey, I'll take Joseph. Yeah, sure. I mean, he's like the Midas touch. Everything he touches, it's gold. It's great. And he was falsely accused, but God was still with him. I want that to be said, no matter where I'm at, that God still is able to use me. No matter the situation, that I can still be blessed and that it will still go forward and things will still happen. No matter what the knocks or the setbacks. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 12, because he again is picturing Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, the saints that are already in heaven, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. People frustrate me, and yet the Bible says, consider Jesus. If your minds are getting frustrated, consider Jesus and the contradiction of sinners that he went through. Again, Joseph is an example of Christ. Then also notice he was neglected and forgotten. Back in Genesis chapter 40, the butler and the baker get thrown into prison. And they have this dream, and he interprets their dream. And the butler gets restored back to his job. And Joseph says at the end of chapter 40, "Now when you get back to your job, will you please tell everybody that I'm here? Would you just let them, just make a mention that, hey, there's this really good guy down in the prison that probably doesn't deserve to be there." And it says in chapter 40, verse 23, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Forgot him. You know, many people that you've helped won't remember. And it wasn't until finally Pharaoh said, "I've had these dreams and I don't understand them." And finally the butler says, "You know, there is a guy that helped me with a dream once. It's starting to come back to me." I'm sure you remember Joseph every day. But the butler didn't want to go to the Pharaoh and say, "Hey, remember when you were mad at me?" So he just conveniently forgot him. Isn't that lousy? Isn't it a bummer when you help somebody out and then years later they act like they don't know you? Neglected and forgotten, but he wasn't forgotten by who? Now, Jesus was like that. One time, there were 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and he said, "Go show yourself to the priest," and on the way, they all got cleansed. And guess how many came back? One, a Samaritan. Where are the others? Where are the 9? Or how about the 5,000 that he fed at one time, plus women and children? I've always wondered, where were all these people that got fed and got healed and got restored when he was being beaten and nailed to a cross? I realize they probably, a lot of them didn't even know it was happening, but I know some of them did. And Joseph's sitting there thinking, "Well, I encouraged the butler, and now he's got his job back, and here I sit." I don't know what age he is by this time, but he's getting close to 40. Close to 30. And from 17 to 30, he's just sitting there. For years, 20 plus years, 30 years, he's just sitting there rotting, it seems like. Neglected and forgotten, yet remembered by the master. You know what? God never forgets. He knows exactly where you and I are. Doesn't always feel like it, does it? Now try to picture yourself like Joseph. By the way, they did not have satellite TV in his prison. Okay? There were no lawyers that you'd call. I mean, and he's just sitting there for years. I don't think I can even understand the frustrations and the doubts and the wondering. But patiently suffering. Look at me in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Now, understand the word "soon" would be in context of God. What is soon for God might not be soon enough for us. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." It says in verse 25, "I have been young and now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Earlier, I was kind of depressed. You know, My one car, I've got an oil leak, and we're going to find out in a couple days what is that, and hopefully it's not anything major, but what is that oil leak? Runs good, just has some oil leaking. Got back from our trip, and I pulled back the truck, and I realized there's an oil puddle under my truck. I got two vehicles, and they both are pouring oil. And so I took the truck to my favorite local mechanic, And I said, I don't know what's wrong. It's only got 299,970 miles on it. So I don't know why it could be leaking oil. And he laughed and he said, well, I'll look at it, because he had changed the oil a couple months ago. He called me a couple hours later and said, come get it. Everything's fine. I said, what happened? He said, the oil filter was loose. He said, I didn't tighten it up enough. Now, that might not be a lot to you, but it was a blessing to me, because an oil filter is a quick fix, a zero charge. And trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God will take care. God knows not everything has to be doom and gloom. God, and if there is a major expense, God's got a reason for it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, I think if I was Joseph, and I had to spend over a decade in prison for something I didn't do, in fact, I was honest, and this is what I get for it, and all this stuff has happened, and all I did was dream something, and now here I am, and I'd probably be chewing on the bars of the prison, tearing all my hair out, you know. And I don't know, maybe Joseph had some of those moments, but all I know is this, is that by the time he walked out of prison, he was under control. The reason why I know that is because when he became second in command, he didn't go find Mrs. Potiphar, and he didn't execute his brothers. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that trust God, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29 says, that purpose is to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Those two verses are awesome verses. Everything is to make us more like Christ. But you know what? Joseph didn't even have those verses. And yet he was living it. But he did have the same concept in mind. Look with me in Genesis 50 and Genesis 45. Let's look at Genesis 45 first. When he finally told his brothers, you know the story, he comes out of the prison, he ends up saving the whole nation and then the world, saves all that grain and that food. I was thinking today, during the 7 years of plenty, he was given a wife. He had two children. The names of his children, anybody know the names of Joseph's children? Manasseh and Ephraim. And Manasseh's name means forget. He said, God has helped me to forget what my father's house did. There were probably some unforgetting years there. But when Manasseh was born, the firstborn, he said, God has helped me to forget. It's forgotten. Isn't that a blessing when you can just forget it? Then the second son's name was, and you know what his name means? Fruitful. After you finally forget, then you can be fruitful. And Joseph learned to forget it and go on to be fruitful. And so those 7 years of abundance, I was just thinking about how that Joseph didn't say, you know what, I got 7 years here, and I can store up for me and cut and run. No, he didn't. He hung around for the seven bad years because he knew he needed to take care of some other people. By this time, he realized God had this all arranged for a purpose, and he wants to save the world through me and save my family through me and save these Egyptians through me. And so he faithfully stuck around for the rough years. And in Genesis 45, when he finally tells his brothers, okay, He's been toying with them just to see if they were repentant, if they were sorry, and he found out they were sorry, and that they knew that they were wrong with what they had done. And so finally he says in verse 3 of Genesis 45, I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive? And it says they couldn't answer him. They were troubled at his presence. I'm sure. It doesn't say here, but I think probably 10 mouths were just hanging open. Eyeballs bulged out. He says, come here, I want to talk to you. Come here, look at me. Verse 5. Now he had this speech arranged. He had planned to tell them this, because look what it says in verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. He's probably looking at Benjamin saying, don't be angry with these guys. He's probably looking at all the 10 guys saying, don't be angry with yourselves and don't point fingers and say, I told you so. God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there's 5 more years to come. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So he says in verse 5, you sold me, but God sent me. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You were trying to just get rid of me, but God was using that. So you, even though you sold me, God sent me. And later, after the dad died, they weren't sure he was really serious. And so they came to him again and made up a story about how that he needs to be nice to them. And he was grieved that they even doubted him. But in Genesis 50, verse 20, he says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. You meant it for evil, but don't worry about it. You sold me, but God sent me. Just, it's okay. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. See, my oldest son's name is Forgotten. It's forgotten. And since I was able to forget it, look at my other son. His name is Fruitful. And that's what I've been. I was able to forget it, and now I'm fruitful. But is fruitful all the time? I mean, I'm looking at people that know something about farming or raising livestock. Fruitful is not all the time, is it? It's the fun time, isn't it? But it's not the all the time. There's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of rough time. Fruitful is the fun time. And sometimes the fun, fruitful time takes years and years of behind the scenes patience. So I guess I want to say, be patient. Trust the Lord. Be where you're supposed to be. And if God's allowed you to go from really nice to not so nice to not nice at all, just blossom where you're planted. Just be the best you can be. If God strips you down even more than you've got right now, then just be whatever it is He wants you in that position. Instead of angry and mad and frustrated, and just recognize what God's doing and understand that the bigger purpose is to be like Him. And we sang it a little bit ago, some of these words that we sang tonight that Ron had picked out. Forsaking home and kindred, hearts made hard by hatred to eyes blind because they would not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. To be an example of Christ, to be like Christ, to recognize that there's a bigger picture here. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that there's been some cases in our country where someone was wrongly imprisoned, and after they got out, they were awarded restitution for their years of wrong. But Joseph didn't demand that from his brothers. He didn't demand it from God either. I would love to be like Joseph, but I don't know I would love to go through the 20 years of misery that Joseph went through. But sometimes that's what it takes to be like a Joseph, to be like Christ. I hope you're encouraged or thoughtful about what we're talking about tonight, and that you learn one thing. As long as I'm where God wants me to be, even if I don't like it, as long as I am where I'm right with the Lord, I'm not going to be angry anymore. I'm not going to be frustrated. I'm going to trust the Lord. As long as I can be happy with wherever God wants me to be, so be it, whatever that is. Can you do that? Can you say that? I hope you can. I hope you can learn to get there. And God will use you, and He'll bless others through you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible.